What a wonderful church and a group of people you are. God is good to us, and I love worshiping here. I really do. You know, we just finished the 10 days of prayer, praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we had a guest speaker every night, and the guest speaker were you in the audience. And it was really powerful. And I took an exit survey. Here's the exit survey. The questions are, how many nights did you attend Circle One? And believe me, the vast majority were here just about every night. Amen. Number two, what did you like about the 10 days of prayer? Number three, what did you not like about the 10 days of prayer? What would you do differently? Number five, any other suggestions? If we did this again, yes or no? And how often should we do this? Now, our average attendance was approximately 80 to 90 every night. And I got back 53 exit surveys. You know, when we hand out pieces of paper and ask you to put down three names of people you want on the nominating committee, we get about 53. I mean, it's amazing your response. By the way, if you received one of these and didn't fill it out, shame on you. All 53 said, yes, if you do this again, we will attend. And so you see that God really and truly did bless us. Therefore, as we move on from here, I want to bring a culmination to the whole matter. This is the beginning of a new year. We finished that 10 days of prayer. By the way, culmination is a noun. And listen to this, the highest or climactic point of something, especially as attained after a long time. So we are going to take a look at the culmination of the whole matter. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father in heaven, we do not tire of saying thank you, but we certainly wish there was some more elegant way of expressing our joy and comfort and encouragement and help we receive having a God like you. And Lord, that reminds me, if anybody came here lonely, hurting, lost, fearful, anxious, depressed, I want you to use this church, every person in it, and me, Lord, to give them the hope that you give to us through your sacred word. And so I turn myself over to you, Lord, to be used by you. For we must hear Jesus and we must see Jesus, not me. So take control now and bless this presentation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Culmination of the whole matter. I invite you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Open your Bibles. Children, open your Bibles. And remember, if you children don't have a Bible, see me after church and I'll get you one. Okay? By the way, not a used one, a brand new one. So take a look at Leviticus 23. And in my Bible, at the head of that chapter, it says, Feasts of the Lord, okay? Leviticus. And we're going to cut it up a little bit so that we can cover everything. Here we go. Verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed time. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Did I move too fast? I still hear pages. I'm sorry. I guess I was in a hurry. So we're on Leviticus 23 and now we're on verse 7. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, but you shall offer an offering made by fire. On the seventh day, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work on it. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying to them, when you come into the land which I have given to you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Okay, now I'm going to clarify all this, so don't get panicky here. Let's go on, and we'll now move to verse 15. And then the Lord said to Moses, and you shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days after the 7th Sabbath, the 50th day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits of the Lord. Now let's go to verse 24. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the, what month? 7th month. Shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire, and you shall do no work on that very same day. By the way, I forgot. I was supposed to go to 24. How come no one caught me on that? 24. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, on the 7th month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, and you shall offer an offering made by fire. Then we go to 27. Also on the 10th day of the 7th month is the day of atonement. Then go to verse 33. And then the Lord spake to Moses and said, speak to the children, on the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. And there it is, a culmination. So let's take a look at this. Notice the very first one was Passover. Okay? The second one, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The third one was the Feast of First Fruits. And the fourth one was Pentecost. It's called the Feast of Weeks. Remember, 50 days after the wave sheath, count 7 Sabbaths, and on the 50th day after the 7th Sabbath is a feast. And then in the 7th month comes the Feast of Trumpets, and that is followed by the Day of Atonement. Okay, now I'm going to even clarify it more for you. We want to bring this to a culmination. Check this out now. Okay, the Passover was in the first month. In fact, the Passover was the 14th. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was the 15th. And the wave sheath was the 16th, all in the first month. The first 3 feasts that the Lord called are in the first month. Now, by the way, the Israelites had 2 calendars. They had a civil calendar, but they had a religious calendar. And these feasts are found in the religious calendar. On the religious calendar, the first month is Nisan. To us, that's April. And in that month, in 3 successive days, are 3 different feasts, of which all something different is taking place. But notice this, if you would. The Feast of First Fruit is the first month, Nisan 16, and the Bible says the morrow after the Sabbath. Well, in the second month, there's nothing. But when you look in the morrow after the Sabbath, you count 50 days and you arrive at the 3rd month of the religious calendar, and there is the Feast of Weeks. It would be the 50th day after the 7th Sabbath, and they celebrated the Feast of Weeks. Okay, are you all right so far? I'm going to clarify more here, but I just want to make sure that you understand this. Well, take a look at the 3rd month we saw was the Feast of Pentecost, the day after the Sabbath. But then we have the 4th month the fifth month and the sixth month, and there's no feast until we get to the first day of the seventh month. And that's the Feast of Trumpets. Okay, so let's look at this just for a second. You already know that Pentecost was the day in which the Holy Spirit was poured out. And after the Holy Spirit was poured out, I should do this differently. I had fun with this. I'm still working on it. You know, the Passover signified the recollection of the Israelites leaving Egypt. Remember? You kill the lamb, you put the blood on the forehead, and then you eat the lamb. And that very night, the firstborn of Egypt was killed. And Pharaoh, who said, "I want to see your face no more," called Moses in. And he said, "Get out of here." And the next day was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the Israelites were told when they left Egypt that very next day, they were to bring bread with them that was unleavened. For 7 days, they were to eat it. And remember, that day was also a holy day. And then came the next day, the wave sheath. Now, the wave sheath is the first harvest in Israel. It's barley. And the priest actually took a scythe and went to various farms, believe it or not, cut some examples out and brought a sheath. And four priests would stand in line, each holding a sheath, and they would wave it before the altar of burnt offering because it was the first harvest. It was the beginning of everything. And then they would throw the sheaf into the fire on the altar of burnt offering. It indicated that God is taking care of them, but it anticipated the coming harvest, the final harvest. And then 50 days later came Pentecost, when the wheat became ripe, and they celebrated the wheat harvest, and it was called the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of First Fruits. And then 4, 5, and 6 months, nothing come to the Day of Atonement. Now, on the first day of the seventh month, the priest would blow the ram's horn. As you know, if you read in your Bible, they blew it for a lot of things. In a certain way, it meant come to the sanctuary, or a different number or a different way meant just the priests come or just the elders come or there's war coming. Whatever it was, they would blow. But on the first day of the seventh month, all day long, not only in Jerusalem, but all the cities, they would blow that trumpet. Why? On the first day of the seventh month was the end of the civil calendar. It was New Year's. And they were acknowledging how good God was. It was a holy day. Just one day, but no work. But it also indicated something else. The two following feasts were very sacred. On the first day of the seventh month, that trumpet blew all day, reminding the people that in 10 days would be the Day of Atonement. 10 days of searching your heart, preparing for the high priest to go in the most holy place, to cleanse the sins that had been given to the sanctuary through the blood of a lamb or a goat that we committed. Everybody humbled themselves. And so the trumpet blew saying, get ready for the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement was 10 days later. And of course, that solemn day, if anybody didn't come to the sanctuary and humble themselves when the high priest came out of the most holy place, the Holy Spirit indicated it, and they were cut off from the congregation. This is the religious calendar now. And you see how God periodically throughout the year reminded the people of his providences, his leading. But also, I like this because the wave sheath was the first harvest and Pentecost was the barley. And Pentecost was wheat. God's always taken care of, but it's approaching judgment, the Day of Atonement. God is also very serious. So, Passover. What's the fulfillment? The Passover was when Jesus died on the cross, setting us free from sin. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the day after Jesus died as the Passover, he rested in the tomb for the whole day. And the next day was wave sheath. That's when Jesus rose from the dead. In the Bible, Paul calls him the first fruit, his resurrection. And then we come to Pentecost, and that's when Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit, giving gifts to his people, talents and ability, as well as love and the desire to reach other people, was poured out 50 days after the wave sheath. Jesus stayed with the disciples for 40 days, and then he rose. But he said, I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to preach in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. But first, go back to the upper room and wait for the Holy Spirit. 10 days they were in that upper room praying for the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, on that 50th day, the 50th day after the seventh Sabbath, the Spirit was poured out in a mighty way. Amen. And what's the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets? That was when William Miller's message that Jesus is coming soon began to be preached right around 1843. And that culminated in the Day of Atonement, 1844. And of course, the Seventh-day Adventist Church came into existence shortly after 1844 to bring the message of judgment, Sabbath, the law, the three angels' message. Now, we got to get this to culmination here, though. I think I forgot something. Yeah, let's look at this. So we got the Feast of Trumpets on the first day. We got on the 10th day. I forgot.
Feast of the Tabernacles.
Yes, the seventh feast. The third one in the seventh month. Isn't that interesting? The seventh month. On the 15th day of the month was the Feast of Tabernacles, or Final Harvest. That feast was for 7 days, and the first day of the Sabbath was a rest day. The eighth day, the day after the seventh feast, was also a Sabbath. They dwelled in booths for 7 days. And I know what I'm going to do. And they rejoiced and they celebrated God's blessings, which was what? The final harvest. All the olive oil, all the grapes, all the rest of the crops were brought in on the 15th day. The harvest was made prior to the 15th day of the seventh month. Notice, in the first month of the religious calendar, there were three. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And then, 1 month later in the third month, was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then came the seventh month. Nothing in four, nothing in five, nothing in six. In the seventh month, there were three. The most solemn feasts of all. The trumpets warning the people. The atonement is approaching, 1844. And finally, the final harvest. Now, I'm giving you something else here that I want you to be aware of. And that is this. This is why we do not observe the feasts anymore. Because if you look closely at this, you will see that Jesus fulfilled six of them already.
Amen.
Graciousness. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest. On the eighth day there shall be a Sabbath rest. And it indicates the final harvest.
Amen.
And the final harvest is the second coming of Jesus Christ when all of this is over.
Amen.
This is the culmination, folks. But we as Adventists have a very interesting understanding of Scripture, based totally on Scripture, that just before Jesus comes, there has to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus came the first time, and after he left, he poured out the Holy Spirit. Why did he pour out the Holy Spirit? Because here's Peter, James, and John, Bartholomew, Philip, uneducated fishermen from Galilee. Jesus is gone. And so Jesus said, it's necessary that I leave you, because if I don't leave you, the Holy Spirit won't come. And when the Holy Spirit came, 120 weak and helpless and broke individuals spread this gospel so far. Paul says that he was told the gospel has gone everywhere in the known world.
Amen.
Because of the Holy Spirit. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, before the final harvest, there's going to be another outpouring. I remember when my mother died, and believe it or not, my sister shocked me. They said to me, "Peter, we want you to speak at the funeral." I said, "Okay, that's a Catholic church, you know. They don't let other people speak, especially a Protestant." But my siblings, my two older sisters, I guess went to work. And the next thing I know, I was invited up to speak. And here's all my Italian relatives, all Catholic. And I thought, "Lord, what do I preach to them?" And I knew right away, the second coming of Jesus Christ, that they never told me in the 26 years I was a member. I never even saw a Bible. I never knew there was a second coming. That's what I'm going to tell them. And then one day I was thinking about a sermon, actually, that I preached here, but it was a long time ago, and I realized, I'm going to talk to you, but I'm not going to talk to you about the second coming, because there's something that happens before the second coming. And that's called the outpouring of the latter rain, which will bring on the shaking. Are you ready for that? And so, my friends, the final harvest is coming. This is the culmination. We've got to keep preaching. We got to keep praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. By the way, during that prayer you prayed, Larry, the Lord told me to change my ending. So I'm going to read to you from the internet something that I found yesterday that just really shook me up. I want to tell you, somebody that maybe is very likely looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Quote, "I gave up hope. As girls, they were jailed in squalor for protesting segregation. The day Martin Luther King gave his landmark, I've Got a Dream, in 1963, something else happened. More than a dozen African-American girls ages 12 to 15 were being held in a small Civil War-era stockade set up by law, enforcing in southern Georgia as a makeshift jail. Though they were never charged with a crime, the girls had been arrested for challenging segregation in demonstrations near southern Georgia. For about 2 months, the girls slept on concrete floors. There was no working toilet or shower. There was minimal food and water delivered each day." Quote, one of the girls, who's now 68 years old, she said, "The place was worse than filth, and we felt less than human." Folks, there is nothing here that man could do such a thing to their fellow man. Sure, and you may say to me, "No, things have changed." I don't really think they've changed. They're just more under control. How could you treat a dozen 12 and 15-year-old girls? They didn't even tell their parents they were arrested and put there. The civil rights movement was searching for the girls desperately, finally figured it out. They sent a photographer there. When the photographer took the picture of the squalor and published them, bam, the girls were released. So how do I close with this? First of all, it impacted me tremendously that man could do this to their fellow man, that man could treat a color less than human. That's evolution, by the way. If any scientists are in here, that's a product of believing in evolution. Those were people God loved that were no different from you and I, except skin color. And they were treated like that. We got to get the second coming here. And these girls have a place, a thing to look for in the future, to at least keep them hopeful, even with the horrible memories in their mind of how they were treated. And so let's be praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because the next thing that's going to happen is the Feast of Tabernacles, called the final harvest. Amen. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, forewarning us in advance and also heightening our sensitivity. How interesting, we're told that the movies we watch, the video games we play, the TV we see has so much murder and abuse of other people. I see women abused all the time on movies and things. Has made us insensitive. But Lord, because of you, we have a sensitivity that maybe the rest of the world doesn't have. And so heighten that sensitivity in our hearts so we really care about one another. And that no matter who around us is taking an opposite view, we would stand firm for what was right no matter what. And Lord, please pour out your Holy Spirit, the latter rain upon us, so we can put an end to all of this. No, so you can put an end to all of this and come in the clouds of glory and take us home. So Lord, bless each one who's here today. Help them to make a decision before they walk out the door. And you send the Spirit to speak to each one of us, to tell us what we should pray about. But for sure, that we continue to pray for an outpouring of Holy Spirit. So blessed to this end, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I invite you to stand with me if you would, and we're going to sing our closing hymn. And the closing hymn is, "Tis Almost Time for the Lord to Come." Amen. Before we pray, I think it would be right to tell you that article came out yesterday on NPR. You can go NPR Morning Edition, January 18th, and you will get the whole presentation of Morning Edition. You go down to the very end, and you'll find this story that was buried in the archives of a shameful behavior that took place that no one really knew about until recently. Also, for those of you who'd like prayer, the elders will be up front to meet with you, and we'll be glad to pray with you. Let us pray. Jesus says to us, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.